Father, we thank you for this great hope, Lord, that one day you're going to bring us home and we're going to be with you forever. And Lord, your word says, he who has this hope purifies himself. And so, Father, as we want to celebrate communion this morning, we pray, God, that you would search our hearts. And Lord, if there be anything within us that is offensive to you, Lord, if there be any motive or evil desire, Lord, if there be any idols in our hearts, things that we've exalted against the knowledge of God within us, Lord, attitudes or feelings that are evil and ungodly, Lord, we ask you, Father, this morning that you would come by your Holy Spirit and put your finger on things in our lives. Lord, we want to be ready. Lord, we don't want to be like those five foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamps. They heard that you were coming and they had to run off and try and find some oil, and the doors shut and there was no way in for them. Lord, we pray, Father, that we would be a people who are found ready. A people, Lord, whose lamps are burning brightly. As our brother Thomas said, that we would live lives that are burning for you today. Not just to put off those things which we know are wrong, to just be lethargic and complacent. But Lord, as it says in Hebrews, that we must pay more earnest attention to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Lord, we don't want to be a people who are drifting in sin and compromise. Lord, your searching eye, Lord, searches our hearts and knows our minds, our thoughts, our imaginations, our secret habits, things that are done behind closed doors and in the privacy of our families. Lord, you understand and know all of those things. And so, Father, this morning as we celebrate, Lord, we want to ask you, Lord, not just to come and encourage us, but Lord, to change us, to wash us anew in your love, Lord, to purify us and cleanse us. Lord, as David said, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. See if there be a wicked way in me, and cleanse me from all that is ungodly. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, as we commune with you, that you would do this in our hearts, that you would destroy sin and self and pride, any kind of uncleanness, Lord. We don't come lightly into your presence. Father, we ask you, Lord, to purify. Lord, we ask you to cleanse and wash. Father, we ask you to fill us anew with your power and your life. Lord, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, the very same power that raised you from the dead, the same power that defeated hell and Satan and every wicked demon, the same power that washed away our sin, the same resurrection power is living within us. And so, Father, we just want to yield our souls fully, completely to that power this morning. Oh God, we want to yield to you this morning, Lord, with nothing hidden, nothing held back. Oh God, we pray, come and meet us this morning as we celebrate communion in a very powerful way, Lord. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus is celebrating his last Passover, and so we call it the Last Supper. The disciples are gathered. We know from John chapter 13 that Jesus has washed their feet. And the Passover is here, and Judas has already decided to betray the Lord Jesus. And so in verse 14, it says a very interesting thing. When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Incredible, really, that the Lord of the universe would recline and rest at the table. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That the Lord of creation earnestly desired this moment. That he was not sad or discouraged. He was steadfast. He was ready to purchase our salvation. Verse 16, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Amen. This is what we celebrate, the new covenant. If we go back to Jeremiah 31, we might ask, well, what is the new covenant? This is the new covenant that the Lord is speaking of in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. It says this, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. This is the new covenant, that we are God's people, that he's put his law in our hearts. And Ezekiel has a very similar passage. It says, I will put a new spirit within you. I will give you a new heart, a clean heart, a new life. And this is what we celebrate, that we're no longer children of sin, children of wrath, but God has put within us his spirit. He's made with us a new covenant. Look at all the things that God says, I will do. I will do this. I will put within you a new spirit. I will give you a clean heart. I will save you. I will fill you. I will do this. It's a covenant of grace that God has done all these things in our lives. And this is what we celebrate, the new covenant in Christ Jesus. And let's go back to Luke. In Luke 24, we know the story that Jesus that night, he died and he was buried, wasn't he? And we know, don't we, that as he cried out, it is finished, that the work was done. And as they took that body down from the tomb, it talks about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, you know, these two men that were maybe secret disciples. They loved Jesus and they went to Pilate and they took his body. They anointed it with oil and put it in the grave. And then in Luke 24, we know that on the first day of the week, on Sunday, which is why we meet on a Sunday, why we're not Seventh-day Adventists and we meet on Saturday, so praise God for the first day of the week. They took spices they had prepared and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And we know they see the angels and they were dressed in dazzling apparel. And they said, he's not here. He's risen. Jesus is alive. And I don't want to focus on that part. I want to go to verse 13. And there's two disciples who were discouraged. Jesus had specifically told them to wait in Jerusalem. And we know that they were on the road to Emmaus. Some people say it was Simon. I'm not too sure. I wasn't there. It just says two of them are going in a village to a village named Emmaus. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking, verse 15, and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near And I believe this morning that the Lord Jesus wants to come and draw near to us. Whatever we're going through, however we're feeling, you know, these disciples were discouraged. They're walking back to Emmaus. And isn't it beautiful that the Lord Jesus drew near to them? I believe the Lord Jesus is drawing near to us this morning. Whatever situation we're in, wherever we're going, the Lord Jesus is drawing near to us this morning. Verse 16, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Sometimes our eyes are so blind. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. You know, when you think of it, Jesus had risen and they weren't even aware of it. Jesus had conquered all their enemies and they didn't even know it. They stood still looking sad. Maybe this is you this morning. And then one of them named Cleopas answered him and said, are you the only one, the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? And Jesus said to them, I wonder if he was smiling. He said, what things? What's happened? Oh, only the greatest day in history. You know, there's kind of a touch of irony there. What things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But, verse 21, this is so true of us sometimes, isn't it? But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to fix all our problems. Right? We were the one who was going to make... He was the one, right? He was the one who's going to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day these things happen. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they'd even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Is that us this morning? Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I wonder how quickly those 7 miles went as Jesus unfolded scripture after scripture after scripture. Incredible. Amazing. What would it have been like to be one of those two people on that road to Emmaus? And yet the Lord is here this morning. I believe he's been here unfolding the scriptures that we've been thinking about and meditating. The Lord is here this morning speaking and working and drawing us to himself, bringing us to a place where we can really believe that Christ is risen. Not just a historical event, but Jesus is alive in me, that he's put his life in me. And I can celebrate this morning that I'm no longer the person I used to be, but I am now a new creature in Christ. As Tom shared that scripture in Galatians 2, it's no longer I that lives. Praise God, I'm a new creature in Christ. In verse 28, so they drew near to the village which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. For it is toward evening and the day is far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And I want to ask the Lord this morning if he would do this again in a special way as we take the bread, as we break it in his presence, as he's gathered with us this morning, that he would open our eyes and we would recognize him in a deeper way than we've ever seen him before. Because we all need more of Jesus, however long we've been following him, whether it's a few years or a few months or decades, we all need more of Jesus. Amen. we're all facing things that are maybe difficult and perplexing. But we can all open our hearts this morning and say, Lord Jesus, will you open my eyes? I want to see you afresh. I want to see you more clearly than I've ever seen you before. I want to experience your life on a deeper level than I've ever experienced it before. And so as we break bread this morning, I want us to pray together. Lord, will you open our eyes? Will you show us your glory? Show us your beauty? Show us your holiness and your purity, that we could live lives that are pleasing to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray as we take communion this morning. Lord, we ask you to open our eyes. Lord, we want to see you afresh. Lord, we want to eat and drink, Lord, your body and your blood spiritually. Lord, that we could be strengthened and sustained in a deeper way, more than we've ever experienced before. Oh, Lord, we want to experience this resurrection power working in us, Lord. Lord, we pray for more power, more life, Lord, more of you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we pray for more of your Spirit to reveal to us the Son. And oh, Lord Jesus, that you would be the door to the Father, so that God would be all in all within us, Lord. Oh, amen, Lord. And so as we take this bread and wine, Lord, we pray that none would drink or eat unworthily. Lord, that you would search our hearts, and that you would be glorified and edified and lifted high as we celebrate together this great resurrection of your Son, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brothers, if you could hand out the elements, and Sue, if you could come and play. And just as the brothers are handing out the bread and the wine, just encourage you, if you love Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, we have open communion. And so you're welcome to join us in communion this morning. But be cautioned that in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul warns that if we eat and drink unworthily, that we are eating and drinking judgment to our soul. So I would urge you to search your heart and make sure that you're right with God, because those are the conditions for taking communion. I think I'm going to read that portion just as we hand out the bread and the wine. It's in 1 Corinthians 11. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it out, verse 23 through 32. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So as we take this bread and this wine, symbols of the body and blood of Jesus, I urge you to search your heart. Let the Lord search your heart. And if there's anything that comes to mind, repent. And ask for his forgiveness if there's somebody that you need to get right with. And this is a perfect opportunity to do that. But let's be open to the Holy Spirit this morning and allow him to search us.